This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. La ilaha illallah.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in the series, The Best of Tawheed. In this series, we have been looking at what are the best evidences to establish the correct and authentic understanding of this concept of monotheism in Islam, the unique unity of Allah. How do we maintain it? We have looked at the theoretical aspects of it and the evidences connected to it. And we've also looked at what violates it. Why Christianity, Judaism, is not, from the Islamic perspective, considered to be monotheism. Islam considers their version of monotheism to be idolatry. How is that? By understanding the intricacies of the Islamic pristine, pure view of monotheism, this is possible. It's possible to grasp this. And this is, of course, very important to the Muslim world today, as it has come under influences from various quarters which have clouded, distorted, and affected that pure monotheistic view. So much so that we have Muslims today who are worshipping other than Allah while claiming they're worshipping Allah. Calling on saints, calling on imams, believing that their prayers can be answered by other than Allah that now exists in the Muslim world. Something unthinkable in the time of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, and his companions. Those early generations, this was not a thought. It was not possible. Now, those that we looked at were violations in the form of Tawheed, or the aspect of Tawheed we called the Tawheed of Dominion, or the Tawheed of Lordship, in Arabic referred to as Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the idea of Allah's dominion over His creation, that nothing happens in that creation without His will and His permission. Now we're going to look at another area which has to do with the attributes of Allah. Because we said the second major area where Tawheed has to be maintained is that we understand who is Allah in terms of the attributes which are unique to Him. We distinguish them from human attributes so that we don't confuse Allah with His creatures. So we did identify previously some examples, you know, where Allah is depicted, for example, as a man. That involves corruption of the attributes of Allah. Whether His attributes are corrupted by saying, okay, He created the world and He rested. We said this was not acceptable. This is giving the attributes of His creatures to Himself. Or we found texts from the Old Testament where it said God repented from what He wished to do to His people. We say, who did He repent to? This is corruption again in the attributes, you know, of Allah. And so on and so forth. Wherever Allah has been given form and definition calling him, for example, a spirit. God is a spirit. No, we don't have the authority to say that. You know, God created spirits. The spirit of human beings, the spirit of the jinn. God created, the spirit is created. To say that God is a spirit, this as Christian theology teaches, from Islamic perspective, this is abhorrent. Now, one of the attributes that we're going to look at is a critical attribute which is commonly shared by those involved in worshiping God in His creation. That attribute is known as al-ulu, or transcendence. The idea that God is not a part and parcel of His creation. We talked before about Ibn Arabi and others who said that everything is Allah and Allah is everything, and how that is pantheism, actually, in the end. It involves, you know, making no distinction between the creation and Allah. So meaning that you can worship any aspect of creation you want. Even if you want to worship yourself, it's okay. And we said this is clear contravention of the laws of Islam. We're not allowed to bow to, worship any aspect of creation. So, talking about this particular attribute, Al-Ulu, Allah refers to Himself as Al-Ali, the one who is above all. This concept that He is not within His creation, He is not surrounded by His creation. His creation is distinct and different from Himself. This concept is a fundamental concept of Islamic belief in understanding who is Allah. Now, what you find is that in the majority of religions, wherein people have accepted God as being a part of creation, you find that in their texts, in their teachings, in their religious stories or whatever, for example, in the Christian context, Prophet Jesus is claimed to be God. He walked the earth, a man who was supposedly crucified and died and was resurrected. In the Old Testament, what is called the Torah, part of the Torah in Genesis, it is mentioned there that Prophet Jacob entered into a wrestling match with God. That God became a man, wrestled with Prophet Jacob, and Jacob won the wrestling match. And at the end, he gave Jacob the name Israel, which meant one who wrestled with God and succeeded. Also, for the Hindus, Brahman, we talked about the Supreme Being, who was supposed to be in every place and in everything, he became worshipped in any object. So there are millions of objects that Hindus have taken for worship, whether it is Hanuman or the elephant head god Ganesh, so on and so forth. Gods of all forms, shapes, everything, God in creation. So much so that they have even taken the unthinkable as an object of worship. If you have the opportunity to Google, you Google Shiva Lingam, who, as an object of worship, became one of the most popular forms in which God is worshipped. Something so reprehensible, I am ashamed to even speak about it here, beyond giving you the name Shiva Lingam, Lingam being spelled L-I-N-G-A-M. Research it. Go on Google. You'll find from the writings, not just of those who have written about Hinduism, but Hindus themselves writing about it, explaining And you wonder how it is possible that people could accept this and worship it. Objects of creation. So this idea, the Hindu idea of God being everywhere, Brahman being everywhere and in everything, this idea crept into Muslim thought in the centuries after the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in around the 9th century. It became a dominant concept of one area of deviant philosophy, which was labeled Islamic, but in fact was un-Islamic. It came in as God being everywhere and in everything. This idea was promoted very strongly and spread all over the Muslim world. And it wasn't until Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, in the latter part of the 9th century, stood his ground, fought this belief, people fell in behind him, and its dominance was stopped. The Mu'tazilite thought was brought to a halt. So this claim of God being everywhere didn't dominate the scholarship, at least from the Muslim world, but in the common masses it still continued to spread. So today, if you ask some Muslims, where is Allah? He or she will automatically tell you, he's everywhere. This thought is actually not an Islamic thought. It is from foreign sources. And we will be looking at how it contravenes and violates the Islamic concepts and the harm that comes from it in our extension after the break. So we hope that you will stay with us while we take a brief break, and we will see you after the break. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back from the break. Before the break, we were looking at a concept, the concept of God being everywhere and in everything. This, we said, is a Hindu concept, widespread in Hinduism, which has been adopted by Christianity, where Christians hold that the human soul is divine, a part and parcel of God's soul, possibly. Every human being has God within him. This idea goes against the understanding of Allah's attribute of al-ulu, or transcendence. Because if Allah is transcendent, he is above and beyond his creatures, then the idea of him being within his creation is contradictory. Now, what we have to keep in mind here is that the arguments which are used to support idolatry usually end up on this point. Since God is everywhere and in everything, why can't we worship him as a statue, or as a man, or as a cow, or whatever? Or what's the problem, since God is everywhere? And in fact, we even had statements, you know, by people like Ibn Arabi talking about Allah being everywhere and in everything, that, you know, you can worship Allah outside of yourself, or you could even worship Allah inside yourself. You could worship your own self, and you would be worshiping Allah. So this type of thought, it goes against the rules of Islam, which says, no, you can only worship Allah outside of his creation. You don't worship him in his creation. You cannot worship him as a man. To worship him as a man is idolatry. To worship him in a statue is idolatry. In an animal, or in a star, or whatever. As long as we're worshiping him in his creation, it is idolatry. So Islam is fundamentally opposed to this concept.
Islamic Online University prevents you with the golden opportunity to study the various branches of Islamic studies from the comforts of your home. Now, you get to study at your own time schedule and at a pace that suits you best. IOU is the brainchild of Dr. Bilal Phillips, who envisioned an institution that would offer undergraduate and postgraduate courses online and completely tuition-free.
Choose from the widest range of programs that you can ever imagine. Bachelor's in Islamic Studies. Intensive Arabic Program. Global Quran Memorization Program. Bridge to Master's in Islamic Studies. Bachelor's, Certificate, and Diploma in Psychology, Education, Islamic Finance, Business Administration, and Information Technology. And the Crown. Master's in Islamic Studies.
Our syllabus is based on the bachelor's degree program of Madinah University, Omdurman Islamic University, Al-Azhar University, and other reputable Islamic institutions. Your journey to acquire Islamic knowledge is just a click away. Islamic Online University. Changing the nation through education. Register now and get started. Visit www.iou.edu.gm for more details.